Welcome in the latest episode of the Five on the Floor podcast on the Five Reasons Sports Network, coming to you as the Heat are walking off the court in Cleveland, losing a game I just cannot believe that they lost. I'm going to be with Alphon Sydney today. We need some raw emotion. Before we get to that, I'll tell you about one of the great sponsors of the Five Reasons Sports Network, the Seltzer Mayberg Law Firm. You can find them at onecalllegal.com. Make sure you spell it out, O-N-E, calllegal.com. They'll handle any kind of case that you've got, and cases from all over the state based right there in North Miami. They handle immigration, slip and fall, traffic accidents, personal injury, and just about everything else. They're starting a sports law division as well, so go check them out again. Just before the Golden Glades, right off of I-95 in Miami Shores, it's onecalllegal.com. Someone there 24 hours a day on that website to handle any of your questions. And now, today's episode.
Welcome to Five on the Floor, a Miami Heat and NBA podcast from Ethan Skolnick with Alphon Sydney, a.k.a. Alf954. Brought to you by the Five Reasons Sports Network.
All right, Ethan Skolnick back with Alphon Sydney. I've got this Fox Sports Sun feed on. Alf, you were driving while all this was occurring tonight? Is that right?
Well, I was driving during the fourth quarter. And it was actually pretty funny to hear Mike Inglis talk about what was going on. And then I came back in the house about 5 minutes left to just see just a completely epic collapse.
Inglis is usually one where, like, if they're up, and I love Mike, but if they're up 13 and it goes down to 8, he's in a panic. But tonight,
He started panicking down 16, and I thought it was funny. And then it got 14, then 12, then 8, then – It was like he was a prophet this time. And yeah. The fact that this even went to overtime is an absolute joke. It wasn't even that he were lucky to get it into overtime. They just got the brakes beat off them in the fourth quarter. I think somebody pointed out they scored like 19 points in the last 17 minutes or something.
Yeah, they were at one point until late in the fourth. They had scored 8 points in the fourth. They went into the fourth quarter up 19. They only got it to the overtime because Kevin Porter Jr. decided not to – or was it Porter Jr.? It was Sexton. Didn't box out at the end, and so Nunn was able to grab the ball and put it back in.
Bad shots, bad threes, no motion to the offense, no ball movement, no nothing. A lot of guys were bad. I mean, just bad or just looked afraid of the moment. Like, afraid of the moment on the road in Cleveland is a really bad sign. When it comes to playoff time.
Well, it is, and we keep talking about two different teams and the way they looked against Cleveland at home and then the first half of this game when they're up big. But you're right, and this was striking to me, that Cleveland's young players, I'm not a big Sexton guy, but Garland and Kevin Porter Jr. look less afraid than the Heat veterans did tonight. That's really problematic. The only guy that was on the court for the Heat that I thought – looked like he wanted to be there was Jay Crowder. He had a decisive three at the end of the game. He didn't make every right play, but he made most of them. But let's go through this, because here's the issue, and I was dealing with this on Twitter a little bit. Everybody's like, get this guy out of the game, right? Get Dragic out. He looks awful. Get Nunn out. He looks awful. Get Duncan out. He can't defend. Get Iguodala out. He's too old. I'm going to get this, get that. And I'm like, okay, for who? Like we're suggesting to take guys out and put in who? And then there was another tweet that came in, and I just don't want to hear this tonight. There's another tweet that came in. They're missing a bunch of guys. I get it. They don't have Hero. They don't have Leonard. They don't have Butler. They're the Cavs. You're up 19 going into the fourth. It's a team that quit on its coach already. Love is waiting to get traded. Tristan Thompson is waiting to get bought out. They've got three kids who are completely raw at this point. They don't have anybody else of any consequence, and yet Larry Nance Jr. is leading the comeback against them. I was in Cleveland during the 27-game winning streak, all right, when the Heat were down 27 points. Remember that? And LeBron and Shane Battier led them back with a bunch of threes. LeBron and Shane Battier. This was reverse, except it was Larry Nance bleeping Jr. This is not acceptable, and I think we've gotten to the point now. We keep talking about them on the road, but, like, this is not a loss in Oklahoma City. This is a loss to Atlanta. This is a loss to Cleveland. And I guess here's the issue. Washington without Beal. Who is playable? Who is playable? Because we know Bam is playable. But damn it, look, I love that guy. And I had this column ready to go. It's not the right time to run it about how he's next and all the rest of this. Believe in yourself, Bam. Look, even
from the basket, and
he won't look. It's not even he won't shoot it, Alf. He doesn't.
I know. I'm passing it out to the corner for a Jay Crowder three. I don't know if it was Jay Crowder or somebody else.
It was a Jay Crowder three. I don't.
Dude, it's you again. I think it was him against either Kevin Love or Nance, and they were underneath the basket. He's 8 feet out. Dude, just go in there and just dunk it on somebody's head.
But he's not even looking at – that's
he's
my
not,
thing.
He's not looking
he's
at the
not,
basket.
He's not even making the choice not to shoot it. He's not looking at the basket. And what I don't understand – and look, we've praised this coaching staff and Spoelstra and everybody else, but I don't – this is the one thing, for some reason, they've not been able to get through to someone this year. Why are they not conditioning him – to be more aggressive? He is by far the Heat's best player on the floor tonight. Without Jimmy, there is no close second, okay?
Listen,
I mean, Goran has lost a step. Like, there's no close second.
For all the hand-wringing we do about Jimmy at the end of games, taking bad shots or not driving to the rim and taking a three or just kind of just bulldozing his way in, at least he is taking the shots.
Right.
When you're the best player on the floor, and Dwayne used to do it, you have to take these shots. Like, you can't – and we talk about LeBron always making the right decision. But at the same time, LeBron at the end of games, at least he's barreling down the lane and then kicking it out. I mean, we're just seeing sometimes Bam is just at the elbow, just looking to make a pass and not even looking at the rim at all. So with Jimmy out these past few games, Bam has had to be the guy who just says, okay, I'm taking over the game.
But he looks like he treats himself like he's a spoke in the wheel instead of – he is the wheel. Like,
yes.
That's
even
the thing.
Even when Jimmy comes back, he still needs to be more aggressive offensively.
Right, and I've been frustrated by the Jimmy late threes, but, I mean, tonight it's like, okay, Bam's put up these ridiculous numbers. And, look, we've always made the case about Whiteside. Like, the numbers don't mean anything in a loss. And Bam, look, I'm watching right now, the goaltend, I mean, he was playing hard. Like, this is not about any criticism of Bam and his attitude or anything. He is ideal, okay? Again, I had a column ready to go about how it's okay for Dwayne to leave the building right now because there's somebody in there to take it over. But the one who has to believe in Bam right now is Bam. Like, everybody else believes in him. Like, there's a Mount Rushmore that believes in him. It's time, and maybe this is how I'm going to tweak the column for tomorrow, it's time for him to accept that burden because he is by far the most talented guy because we're going to nitpick everybody else, and that's what you and I are going to do the rest of this episode. I'm sorry if people don't like it, but it's time we do it, all right? But, like, he is the guy that has to take over there, and it's so frustrating. And Crotty, look, they don't want to criticize the players. That's the closest that Crotty will come to doing it. Because Eric Reed was sitting there talking about how unselfish they all were. You know, you got a better shot. Because, yes, Jay Crowder got an open three from the corner. But, like, then Crotty's like, well, I'd like to see some guys sometimes take it to the basket. Like, he didn't say Bam's name, but it's clear he feels that way. And I think if you're on Bam's team at this point, dude, you're great. Be great, okay? And he's got to have that thing inside of him.
You know what's funny? And it's to me, it's not just that they're missing Jimmy and Myers right now, and Hero as well. I almost feel like they're missing their voices more than anything.
Yeah.
I feel like they're missing the attitude. I feel like they're missing the – I feel like they're just missing something.
Well, those three guys – I will agree with you. Those three guys in their own way have a certain presence, right? Like Jimmy – like they didn't have a point guard tonight. Like Jimmy would have settled them down, all right? Myers gives them that communication voice on the court. And Myers is the guy, you and I are in the locker room. He's the guy that's always keeping everybody loose and everything else. And then Hero has that cockiness, right? The three of those guys have it. The guys that were on the floor at the end of the game tonight, Duncan Robinson, Bam, Goran, Crowder and Iguodala are too new, and Iguodala doesn't look good. Derek Jones Jr., Kendrick Nunn, they don't have it. They don't have it. So I do think you're right about that, but let's go through this a little bit tonight, all right? Because let's go through who can be playing and who can't be playing. I mean, I'm looking at Bam's numbers, 22, 13, 9, 3, and 4. Like, that's an insane stat line, and they lost to Cleveland. Let's go through some of these guys. Is Goran Dragic playable down the stretch right now?
Right now, no. And it's not just some of the poor shooting. It's the decision-making. The just being hesitant, not being quick with the decisions, turning the ball over, some really bad shots. looking for foul calls when there are no foul calls. It's just, like I said, it's not just the shooting. It's the decision-making on offense and the fact that he just gets picked on defense.
Right.
I think it was Garland. I mean, just a simple pump fake. And, I mean, Goran went flying outside of the lane. And now you got Bam trying to cover two guys at once, and Garland flips it in. I mean, there's too many times late in games where they're getting the switch on a guy like Goran and just going straight to the basket, and now you're asking Bam to do the impossible.
Right. Well, and I think that's taking away some of his aggressiveness on offense. I mean, this is the problem. Like, you had Nunn, who we're going to talk about in a second, who was not getting them into offense at all. And so I'm like, they need a point guard out there. And I was like, thank God they put Goran back in the game, right? Thank God they've got the veteran who's going to settle them. And, you know, I don't even know what Goran's overall numbers were tonight. I think they were fine. But you're right. When you start breaking down the plays late in games, his clutch numbers this year are not good. Like, it does seem like teams are attacking him. They're picking on him. And, yeah, the Garland fake, I mean, that one, like you said, he almost went flying into the first row. I don't know, but who do you play? Because I'm watching Kendrick Nunn, and when Kendrick Nunn's out there, yeah, he made the big basket late, but he's not getting them into offense. Like, he's not – nothing's happening. But they're ending up with 2 seconds left on the shot clock.
Yeah, but in the clutch, it should be Jimmy with the ball in his hands, and you don't have Jimmy, and they don't have a secondary option. They create for themselves and create for others. And honestly, it can be Bam, but Bam has to be a little bit quicker with the decision-making sometimes and be more aggressive as far as scoring the ball for himself as well as creating for others.
Well, I think what's happened tonight is, I mean, we need to say goodbye to that three seed. That's not happening, not the way this team is playing
right
now. And Philly, you know, we're going to talk about Simmons a little bit, but, you know, Philly's going to lose Simmons indefinitely. They came back and beat Atlanta tonight. Embiid had a big game. But it's really problematic. All right, let's go to a couple of the other guys because we talked about Nunn and Dragic. Alex and I did a pod on Crowder and Iguodala. This is the first time we really got to see the Iguodala-Duncan Robinson offense-defense switch. But the problem with it is if you don't have a timeout afterwards or you don't use a timeout,
you got then Iguodala,
on offense taking a bad shot, right? Yeah. Like, so I understood why Spo did it, and because Duncan, again, was unplayable defensively late in the game. But then if you can't get the guy out, you've got to count on him on the other side of the floor. And so it really is the same problem that you had before. Do you think, I asked Alex this question, do you think that Iguodala is going to get to a point this year where he's a playable player for them late in games?
I mean, that's hard to say just because you have no idea when he's going to round back into NBA shape. I mean, he looks great physically, but NBA players will tell you all the time that being in shape and being in game shape are two different things. I feel like when you talk about track record, I feel like he's the kind of guy that is going to turn it on when it counts. So I'm not that worried yet because I don't know how important he's going to be when you have everybody back. But if you continue to have injuries like this, especially going into the playoffs, and you're counting on large minutes for Iguodala, I think that's going to be a problem. But like I said, it's still really early in the process for a guy who did not play basically two-thirds of the season. It's still really early, so I don't want to.
But he was not good last year. Like let's accept that, right? Like if you watched him with Golden State last year, there was a noticeable decline. Even as good as he looks physically, if you look at his numbers, if you look at when they played him, he was not what he was during that run. Because during that one run, there were times where you could have made a case at times he was their third or fourth best player, okay? And obviously he won an MVP in the finals, right? So there were times where he was absolutely essential to them. He was not that guy last year.
Now, and the Heat aren't expecting that guy.
They give them situational minutes. I understand.
17 minutes. And I will tell you, he did come in and he did a better job on Larry Nance than anybody else is doing.
He did. No, that's
after
true.
He came in, Larry Nance was kind of taken completely out of the game, but then they just started picking on Duncan Robinson or Goran Dragic.
Right.
Wherever they could find one of those two guys, that's where they were going.
But that's where they're going, and this is a young, undisciplined team with their two veterans who don't really care. Like, I'm watching Love and Tristan Thompson, like, look like they won the finals after the game. Is this the first time they've cared about a game the whole season? Like, it's amazing to me that the Heat are so undisciplined on the road and so unfocused that they're allowing bad teams that never look like they play together to look like functioning NBA playoff teams against them, where they're able to pick out the weak matchup over and over and over again. And I just, you know, again, I kind of went in on Spoelstra. You know, we're all Spoelstra guys, but I just, something's off since the trades. Like, and yes, I know Jimmy's out. I get it. I understand that. I know that Leonard and Hero, in their own way, each add something here, but this is inexcusable. I mean, I'm Spoelstra on right now. Should we listen? Can you hear it? I'm going to try to. So, did he say we got what we deserved? Because I was expecting that quote tonight. Hold on, that's his favorite quote. Hold on. All right, so listening to Eric Spoelstra tonight, and we just paused a little bit so we could hear it. He basically said that we paid the price for going through stretches where we don't defend. That when the shots are not falling, we go through stretches where we don't defend. He mentioned the second quarter where they gave up 35. Of course, they were still up, you know, double digits at that point. But you know, he talked about the slippage and, you know, that they can get away with this at home, but they can't get away with it on the road. I don't understand the home-road split, though. Like, I've never seen a team, and I know Philly's the same way. It's crazy. But I've never seen a Heat team like this. Like, they've never had splits like this under Spoelstra. If you look historically at their home roads, I think during one of the big 3 years, they had a better record on the road. Traditionally needed the home court. In fact, that's been the big joke, Alf, is that they're not
complaining about how bad their home record is.
I don't get it. And it's not just the young players, though. Like, Dragic has been better on the road than a lot of their other guys. There's been some slippage lately. But, I mean, Hero wasn't playing tonight, so you can't blame him. Now, Duncan's numbers are better at home. But he made his first four threes tonight. So it's five, right? Right, five. Okay, so I just don't get it. I don't know where these splits. One more guy, and then afterwards, we're going to do something a little unique tonight. I'm going to read some of the angriest tweets that came into me tonight, okay? And we're going to see whether you think they're legitimate. Something else new we're going to do is we're going to start bringing some other people on the pod. So if you listen to the pod, your follower of the pod, we're going to start doing that more and more as the season goes on. But one more guy, Derrick Jones Jr. sopped up a lot of those late minutes tonight. Alex and I talked about him on yesterday's podcast and how I think he's the guy who's going to lose minutes when Jimmy gets back, because, you know, they got to justify Iguodala, and Crowder has deserved to play. And so DJJ kind of becomes the guy squeezed, particularly when Myers is back in the starting lineup. Do you agree with me on that? Because it does seem like Spoelstra feels like he's the one guy he can trust defensively.
I agree with you, actually. I think Iggy's going to lose some minutes. Jay Crowder's actually, he looks like he deserves every minute he gets. But I think DJJ's going to lose some minutes. Iggy's going to lose some minutes. Duncan's going to lose some minutes. These guys who aren't going both ways. Because you brought up the fact that DJJ took up a lot of those clutch minutes tonight. I forgot he played. You know, like, there's a lot of those times where there's just long stretches. Like, you just forget that Derrick Jones Jr. is even on the floor because he's not doing anything for you offensively. So, a lot of these guys either got to figure out how they're going to stay on the floor. Duncan Robinson needs to figure out how he's going to stay on the floor on defense. Goran Dragic needs to figure it out. Because I see this rotation tightening and tightening and tightening, and some of these one-way guys are just not going to see the floor in the fourth quarter.
Right. Well, that's true. I think Eric is sort of out of guys he can trust, and it feels like he does trust Derek. But like you said, there's a lot of times he's not making an offensive contribution, and then the spacing gets screwed up. And I'm watching right now, they're interviewing Jay Crowder in the locker room. It seems like he's become accountable for a lot of this stuff. And like I say, he's been the guy who's actually played his – I thought his minutes were fine tonight. I didn't have any issue with his minutes.
He's 5-for-14 tonight, right?
Yeah, but his minutes were solid, though. I thought he defended. He seemed to be in the right place. He made the big three at the end. Jay Crowder is the last guy I'm going to have any issues with right now. Anyway.
What I do want to see is when Myers comes back, is if he gets some more fourth quarter minutes. Because Giancarlo Navas from Heat Beat, your best friend, pointed this out on Twitter, how bad they are defensive rebounding in the clutch.
Right.
And we saw tonight how many defensive possessions where they just could not – they didn't finish the possession because they didn't get defensive rebound. Mm-hmm. Guys are getting putbacks. They almost lost on a putback dunk.
Yeah, I know.
Half a second and they would have lost that game in regulation on a putback dunk because they're not boxing anybody out. I would actually like to see more Myers Leonard in clutch moments for no other reason than for some size and for some rebounding, because they are getting crushed out there by bigger teams when it's time to finish the defensive possession.
Yeah, we'll see. But I think Myers is still a little ways away, though, so it's going to be time.
I'm probably talking about playoffs at this point. Him and Hero are out of the walking boots, which is a good sign.
Did Bradley Beal score 55 tonight? He did, right? All right, anyway.
At one point, he was at 53. So.
All right, side note. All right, we'll get to – we got one more thing we're going to get to tonight, then we want to get this podcast out. One of the great sponsors of the Five Reasons Sports Network, though, they'll make you look better than the Heat look tonight. Servani Men's Custom Clothier. If it's frustrating to shop for dress clothes, can't seem to find the right fit, color, or style, or you feel like you never know what to wear or how to wear it, you got a wedding or a special event coming up, or you just wear professional attire daily, you got to go see Blanca over at Servani Men's Custom Clothier in South Miami. Her private showroom is located right across from Sunset Place on Red Road. Servani has been designing fine custom-made clothing in South Miami for over 30 years. Your custom-made suits, pants, shirts, and shoes will fit you just the way you like. I just cleaned my three jackets today so that I can wear them again next week. So schedule a private consultation with Blanca to start looking your best, get the benefit of a female's perspective on men's fashion. Give her a call at 305-310-2085, 305-310-2085. Nothing fits like custom tailored clothes, so stop buying off the rack. All right, we're going to do this quickly. We've got some tweets that have come into tonight. I'm just going to go through it. People wanted an emergency pod. We actually planned on podding all the time. Plan on potting the whole time, but basically we decided to rush it out tonight. Here's one tweet. Tell me if you agree with this. Just as up or down. Thumbs up. Alf's thumbs up. Alf's thumbs down. This one comes in from LMIK Steven. This team has not been the same since the trade, but everyone is going to ignore this. This team was built on chemistry, and when you trade away guys and bring in new ones, you mess that up. Up or down?
Thumbs down. They were playing poorly before the trade. Like, thumbs down. That doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
It was not like they've been juggernauts since the first of the year.
It's also that they've only had one home game since they brought in the new players.
Yeah.
Right? Like, this is really more of a thing for that. Iggy doesn't fit to this team. It's obvious. This comes in from F. Burke. I can't even pronounce this one. I don't know. I don't know that Twitter handle. Iggy doesn't fit to this team. Do you agree? Up or down?
Thumbs down. It's too early. Like these I hate these sweeping hot takes. Like I got one. I want you to.
Up or down?
I want you up or down. Because this one this one struck me. Okay. It's from Hot Take Harry.
Oh, well, of course.
Spo has had a terrible year.
What was the projection on this team before the season? 43?
43.
Okay, are they going to – I love Harry, and I saw him the other night at the Wade thing, but, like, are they going to win 35 or are they at 36 already? Like, I don't know how you have that take. Like, I think there are certain – elements to Spoelstra as a coach, and we can nitpick some of them, right? Like, you can nitpick in-game rotations. You can nitpick whether he's getting his team ready to play on the road. But then you can't forget the fact that he's basically helped, you know, him and his coaching staff have developed a bunch of G League guys to play with Jimmy Butler and Bam Adebayo, and that Bam Adebayo has made huge strides in his third season. Like, you can't just decide to – you're going to focus on one part of what he does as a coach, but not the rest. Do I have issues? Yes, like I thought he didn't coach a particularly good game the other night against Atlanta, and I said so on the podcast. But like, I don't know how you can make that kind of sweeping generalization. All right, here, I'll give you another one. Let's see, we got can someone remind me what Iguodala is good at again? Did you have a secret watch party? That comes from our friend G Winnick. We did not. This one. We have average ass players. This comes from Drew_SK33. We have average ass players. Crowder is having a miracle sweat stretch shooting. He's going to come down to earth. Iggy is good for 10 minutes. Trash ass performance. I mean, I think Crowder is going to come back to earth, but I think we've seen Crowder's a pretty good player, right? So I don't know where I go with that. This one, I miss James Johnson. That's where we are. This comes in from J. Rom, living legend. Do you miss James Johnson? Up or down?
Thumbs down. I mean, he barely played. Like, yeah. Like the whole idea that the trade is the problem.
Like, I know this is a new one. I don't. Here's another one. Okay, this comes in from Heisenberg underscore 305. I hate to say this, but losing consistently to the bad teams has been a thing for 3 years now. The only consistent on this team during this stretch has been Spo. There, I said it.
So somehow Spo can't coach against bad teams. Like, honestly, if that, like, I don't know what to say, because the Heat haven't been a good team. It's like the Heat have been a really great team for the last 3 years. So if you're losing to bad teams, you're a bad team as well.
But they weren't losing to bad teams early in the year, right? So, like, something has changed.
Yeah, this is
– I mean, they were dominating bad teams, again, mostly at home. But they were beating the bad teams on the road.
Apparently, Spo wasn't coaching the first half of the season. So,
I don't know.
That must be
– All right, let me find two more. Hold on.
I'm going to give one of these a thumbs up.
I don't know that you're going to give – okay. I'm not going to use that one. There's cursing in there. We're trying to stay away from the cursing lately. Hold on. Let's see. We've got pathetic, sixth seed, here we come. Choking in the fourth. I mean, I don't disagree with any of that.
I mean, pathetic, choking in the fourth, thumbs up.
Thumbs up,
on
yes.
Both of those.
On both of those. This one, I mean, you've kind of said this. Is from Rolly underscore is underscore here. All this great feeling for All-Star Weekend right out the window with these two terrible road losses. Iguodala has been disastrous. Hero and Leonard need to come back and fast. I mean, I do think that, you know, it's funny. I was texting with Sedano tonight, and, I mean, he made the point that they really miss Hero, basically because if Dragic is not creating things in the fourth quarter, we've shown that Hero can. So I can see the value in that, but I also know that Hero wasn't contributing defensively. So a lot of the issues they've had defensively, like, might be issues earlier in the game with him. But, yes, Hero is a guy who's not afraid to make plays in the fourth quarter. This one, too. This is from Mike Fountains. No real excuse for this, except Duncan Robinson got way too many fourth quarter minutes for defensive liability, who was ice cold shooting. I think this is the problem. You and I have talked about this. Like, Duncan tends to get off to these really fast starts, right? Like, I think he's shooting, like, 54% from three in the first quarter, okay? But his numbers in the fourth quarter are better than people think. And the problem is, if you're going to say you're going to take him off the court because he's getting cooked defensively, but then you don't have his spacing, you don't have him on the court in case he hits one of those hot stretches. Right? Like, this thing about, well, Duncan, when he's struggling, take him out. I mean, that presumes he's never going to be a good shooter again. I don't agree with that.
It's not like they lost the fourth quarter 45-32 and offense wasn't a problem.
Right.
They scored like 12 points in the entire fourth. So you're talking about taking Duncan Robinson out when he's your best floor spacer. He has the most gravity of anybody on your team offensively. Mm-hmm. You don't have Jimmy Butler out there. You can't play Iggy, but you can't play Duncan.
Right. So who do you
can't play?
Play
Chris. You can't play Chris Silva. Who do you play? Now,
well, he didn't play Olynyk either, right?
Olynyk was actually a plus 15 tonight.
I know.
I would have liked to see him in with some more size. I think the size killed them. I mean, they were outscored by like 20 points in the paint tonight. I know Olynyk is not a rim protector, but he's a guy that you could put on Kevin Love for some stretches. Well, who could actually probably box him out a little bit better than Derrick Jones Jr. So I would have liked to see a little bit more Kelly Olynyk, but it's enough of this. Oh, Duncan Robinson played too many minutes. Because if Duncan Robinson did not play the fourth quarter and they scored 12 points, what would have been the hot take?
Right.
They should have played Duncan Robinson.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, with everybody on this roster but Bam and Jimmy, there's going to be a comment of he shouldn't have played that much or he should have played more. Like, that's been the case all season. It's like the only one nobody's complaining about right now is Crowder. All right, two more quickies. This is from Y Fit Miami. We don't have an all-star that can shoot. Facts. I mean, that's kind of true. Well, you have one who won't shoot, and you have one who's not playing right now who hasn't been shooting well for the perimeter.
Who cares? They shooters aren't the problem. I mean, what are we talking about?
I know.
We don't have an all-star who can shoot. What the hell did that have to do with the game tonight?
I don't know.
Like, literally, what the hell did not having an all-star who can shoot have to do with losing to the effing Cavs?
Well, all right, I have the worst tweet of the night. You ready? And people have gone on him on this. This is from at Vasco Pinto underscore, capital letters, Bam is overrated. If that's what you took out of tonight, I can't help you. That's it. All right, we're done, right? We're gonna get this one up. I mean, I want him to shoot the ball. I want him to shoot the ball because he's not overrated. That's the whole thing. He's not rating himself highly enough. Shoot it, Bam. We believe in you. Believe in yourself. All right, that's it. No more. Alphonse Sydney at Alf9.4 at Ethan J. Skolnick. We'll pod more stuff this week.
This wasn't the podcast to tell me to not curse as much.
Yeah, fuck that. Good night.
Thank you for listening to the Five on the Floor on the Five Regional Sports Network.